Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Mache, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. During the show, if you would like to call in for a reading or with comments or questions, call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad, or join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Woo is all I can say. What a morning, what a day, and what a full moon. I'm your host and pilot for this hour and a half. Those of you that don't know of Awakenings, maybe you've just surfed into this part of the internet or internet or ethernet and found the program, or some of you find us on iTunes. So welcome if you're new to the program, and welcome, of course, if you're a longtime listener as well. You all know you ground the energy of the program. Everybody that's in the chat room, cheers, JD, Lar, welcome. Welcome guests also to Awakenings. And of course, welcome those of you listening later via the archives, iTunes, TuneIn Radio as well, and the other podcast stations. Boy, it's been such a morning. You might detect a little something in my voice, a little something happening. I've had a little bit of I went to LIB, Lightning in a Bottle, which was amazing. However, as an empath and intuitive, and this has been forever, I need my downtime, in between things. And it was a lovely trip, lovely road trip. Dance, saw some great music, amazing art, some wonderful people, and amazing talk on permaculture, and then also an inspirational talk by one of the founders, which was with my boyfriend, and I'm like, oh, I told you, have I been saying all this? It was basically about being around like-minded individuals, finding your purpose, and kind of living your own legend. And even at the permaculture, there was some things that I'm incorporating into my soul entrepreneurship group that's coming up. If you want any information on that, you can either email awakeningsradio@gmail.com or info@soulentrepreneurship.com or .life. Got some options there, soulentrepreneurship.com. And the website is already up and running, and that looks great. Thank you, Jen. We're really coming out of the gate here. I tried to do these programs back in 2005, and people just weren't ready. And it always seems to be I'm 10 or 15 years ahead of where things are going, even with like getting my CDs onto iTunes. At the time, people really didn't have meditation CDs or spoken word, on that. And it was like 1999, which seems not that long ago, but really, if you think about it, the internet was such a different thing. I mean, I remember letting people download my music, my meditations, and kind of other tools, and really getting flack from it. People really, why they're going to steal it, or they're copying you, or what are you going to do, or why are you doing this? And now it's common knowledge, common sense. Everybody, puts stuff on the internet to download, whether it's 99 cents, $2, $5, but whatever, it's not a big deal. And I remember people even telling me, oh, your meditations are worth much more than you're charging. Why are you downloading? Why are you allowing this? And I remember saying to quite a few people, well, I've got a lot more inside me, and I think it's kind of fun. I think it's kind of fun to get it out. it's just interesting how things change, and you just have to, I think probably have a lot of Aquarius in my chart also, so I'm really connected to and Leo, self-expression and trying new things and kind of, you know, being what they call early adopter of things, of technology, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm kind of yammering on because I'm trying to find a question on the in the email that I wanted to answer on air. And it's from James, who always gets us some great questions. And I'm not finding it now. So I'm gonna scroll around a little bit, and if I don't find it, I'll just move on and we will answer it another time. But I thought it was something on past lives, and I wanted to, James, if you're listening to me, maybe you can shoot me the email. Go ahead and do it to myself and Light One, and I'll, unless Sadie's in the chat and she can pass it on. Otherwise, I will, let's see, listener questions. No, it wasn't the spirit guide one. Let's see. Okay, well, we'll just have to get back to it because we've got a live show already. Sharing stuff. Love this too. Yes. Tamara, yes, you're ahead of the time. Yeah. And I look now around and I remember just for so many years, people saying, soul, huh? What are you talking about? What? I'm spiritual. I want to integrate my spirituality. And I'm like, no, there's a soul. There's this blueprint. There's this design that you have inside you and you go by. And to some degree, the astrology could be looked even as a map of that or a potential. But really, the map is inside you. And that's kind of what I help people tap into. The map is in you and the way to find it. I mean, there's what I love about, you know, and I've always lived this way my whole life. And I've kind of always been put down for, you know, some of the decisions that I've made that have ended up becoming amazing because I was going by the navigation of my soul and I was spirit led. And let me explain that. The soul, the higher self is like the navigating principle of that. But there's a spirit, a spiritual energy, that prana, life force, animating energy, that when we feel, like when you're at, you know, a concert or you're dancing at an amazing, you know, life-enhancing rave. I don't want to put judgment out there, but just, you know, you're in the middle, you know, you're at a tribal, you're at a picnic, you're dancing, you're outdoors, or you're with your besties, and there's this energy that comes up, right? That's spirit. That's our spiritual energy. That's our essence. So the more you can connect with things that connect you spiritually, and the way to look at the soul is it's your individuated aspect of the all that is, or it's the individual you, it's the unique you energetically. And inside there, inside the soul, the totality of the soul, it's like the workers, it's the manual. It's your manual, it's your blueprint. And the interesting thing is it's not out there, but what's so cool about this earth plane in life, when you start living soul connected and spirit led, you know, it's a different kind of living. It's a different map. It's not necessarily somebody, it can be some people sharing some things and telling you, so try this, do this, this is right for you, or I see this in you, or go this direction. There's some of that, like the outer path has, but it comes with this feeling. It comes with this kind of interesting sonar, kind of electrical magnetic energy that you connect to, and you always know it because you get jazzed, you know. And like today, okay, Tamara's putting mystics often a bit ahead of the pulse of consciousness. Yeah, and here's another thing I quote, because I work with a lot of people in the TV and film industry. I quoted reality TV really taking off, and it was before one of the actors or writer strikes. It was in the 90s, late 90s, and people said, well, they're going to be, there's no one, the public doesn't know yet, but there's going to be a strike. So that's what you're picking up on. I said, nah, I don't feel it. And I even did a project for TV called Real Stories, Real People. And I said, no, the real people are what's going to be taking over. I said, because we're moving into the age of Aquarius, a new paradigm is about leveling the playing field. I even predicted with some of my stockbroker friends, the people would be trading on the internet. And kind of got poo-pooed for that. My thing is I do so much individually, I don't really come out as a group or on the YouTube and telling things, because that's not really my thing. I could do that, and I've had some people kind of try to steer me in that direction. But what really excites me is helping people individually connect to their soul and be, you know, if you want to put it, the best that they can be. And the other stuff just comes with the territory. I mean, it's interesting to me. It's interesting to see it, but I more help people in small groups or individually with that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's funny because when you say these things, people don't believe. But I've kind of gotten used to that. I think even because even when I was a model, you got a lot of rejection. You know, your face looks great, you're beautiful, your legs aren't so hot, you know, or you're too short or you're too tall. We want someone more petite, you know, is dancing. Do a video with Michael Jackson. Oh, he's very petite, you know, he's very short. We need somebody like 5'2", 5'3", not 5'7", 5'8", 5'9", you know. So, and plus I always had my spiritual connection and my other world and my art and my friends that were not in that. So I really didn't take it personally. So the same thing for me when people didn't believe me, even as a girl, little younger girl predicting things. And then later, you know, sometimes in sessions or groups when I would be doing channeling work and people didn't believe what I was seeing that was going to be happening, not just individually to them, but collectively, I was kind of like, well, whatever, you know, not 100% right, but about, I've been tested and it's about 97% to 98%. So that's good enough for me. So I just kind of got used to that there's going to be things that I see ahead of time. And that one of my teachers, Elliot Tanzer, he, you know, learned a lot of healing work from him in my beginning astrology way back in my early 20s. And he said, this will be your path. You have to get used to it because it's only the ego that will be upset about this. You're going to be ahead. You'll see things, know things ahead of time. 5 to 15 years later that come into fruition, and it will seem like you should have brought this into the masses or into the community, and you didn't, but you knew it ahead. And he said, you just have to make peace with that because that's not the main thrust of your path. And very, very wise person, and got introduced to him from a really, really good friend of mine who's an amazing astrologer as well. And Diane Lerner, Pisces Solutions, PiscesSolutions.com. If any of you, yeah, and so, you know, and it did teach me that we all have our peace. And that's why, going back to what I was talking about with the soul, a lot of people think there's not going to be enough for them because everybody's awakening and having these gifts. That so everything is seeming kind of commonplace. What I will share with you, because the soul does like variety, it's going to force people to do more than one thing and to get exchange from that, whether that's monetary exchange, fulfillment, enjoyment, people exchange, you know, meeting more like-minded individuals, whatever it is, it's not going to be the world where you just focus on one thing and that's your kind of, you know, modus operandi grande, you know, the big one, the big idea. There may be a lot of little ideas, there might be one big idea, and then one or two little, or, you know, you just don't know. And the only way to know that is to kind of tune into your own navigational system. And know, you know, that whatever is yours or however your life is to unfold is happening if you follow these openings. And that's so what I teach people to do. That's what I did my whole life. I mean, I left some very lucrative positions to kind of go off on, not irresponsible, not willy-nilly, not, you know, following the steps. And that's the thing, the higher self will always, always, or if you want to put God, spirit, whatever terms you want to use, universe, will always, 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 always have steps for you to follow and some type of support and some type of, believe it or not, a little bit of a safety net. You know, it always feels like we're, you know, jumping across a big schism with nothing below us. And that's just not true, but it might not be the safety net that you like. It might seem kind of low. It might be, oh my God, it's 20 feet down instead of 3 feet, but it will be there. There will be something or someone always, 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 always. I've never, and I would say spirit acts either at the holy instant or the 11th hour. It's never when we're mulling things over, mulling, trying, pushing, strategizing. That's not spirit. Now, that's human, and that's fine to do that. That's part of the process, but you have to know that to get to whatever that next level of unfoldment is, or to get the insight or the information, you're either going to have to wait to the 11th hour. Shoot, I can't believe it came through. Wow, I almost didn't make it. Or you're not even going to have a chance to put anything in motion, and whoops, there you are. And you're like, oh my God, I wasn't ready. I wasn't prepared. Oh my God, it's here. So that's just kind of how, you know, it's very Uranian. The spiritual energy is, you know, spiritual energy that is Earth brought more into form acts more Saturnian, you know, with the planet Saturn. It's very process oriented. It has a lot to do with persistent effort, steps and levels. And we are both. And so we're going to have those steps and levels, and then we're going to have these exponential leaps or times that seem so drawn out. But the thing is when something is not happening or seems to not be happening, it is happening on a inner level or deeper level. It's happening what we call esoterically or metaphysically on the etheric plane. So years ago, and this is a wonderful thing to do, in fact, we're going to practice some of this, by the way, in my Soul Entrepreneurship Program. And again, if you feel a call to it, you can email Michelle, or I think it's info@soulentrepreneurship.com. You know, I'll be posting on Facebook, there's some stuff, and we leave Twitter, and then I'll do a couple other mailings. So if you want to get on the list and keep, you know, abreast of what's happening, go ahead and do that. It's just I'm kind of in a flow of it. It's all kind of coming together, and it's going to be satellite, so it'll be international. So we'll be meeting in person and satellite. I love that. Those of you that know me, my technology, I love doing that. So So we're both. So we have to kind of get used to that. There, what's happening etherically. What I was starting to say is years ago, I did this program and with one of my apprenticing, and we had to feel what was there etherically. Because in truth, everything that is meant to come to us or manifest is already there in the ethers. It just has to come into denser physical form or the earth plane, however you want to put it. So it's kind of a lovely little practice to feel what's already there and to open to it. Okay, that's another way of drawing it. Now, I'm going to put one caveat out there for those of you that are listening and going, why haven't I drawn in what I want? I'm feeling it. Denser stuck states, conditioned response patterns is another way to look at it from a hypnotherapy, transpersonal therapy point of view. When you have denser emotional states that are chronic, it's hard to draw in or manifest. So you need to, everybody at some point needs to do some form of therapy, clearing, emotional clearing. You know, we have Mira Kelly coming on at the second half of the program and just past life regression, which I do that as well. I love that. I think that's phenomenal. And she helps people specifically connect to their purpose. And so we're going to be talking with her in the way that she does it. But, you know, again, tonal work, energy work, alignment work, in order to truly manifest what's right for you or draw in or attract that, because manifest comes from the French to just to make visible, you know, to make physical, you kind of have to know what you're about. So more and more, we're not going to be manifesting or drawing in from the constructed ego. That game is over, from the conditioned ego, from the social ego, the race consciousness. So, you know, the great awakening is not, it's the soul being externalized on earth. It's the earth plane. It's the ego opening now to the soul and to our spiritual nature. So it is the soul of all of us, the soul of the planet, the soul of the earth, the soul of the universe. Everything has a design to it. We learn this in physics. Everything has mathematical. Everything has a design to mathematically, energetically, tonally, resonance, or you know, we know there's sort of cymatics to create the form that it is. What a what an I just can only imagine what the next game will be, you know, with people living from that more and understanding that. So that's what's happening, you know. But if you're not finding your drawing in things that you want, you're finding you're not manifesting what it is you want, I would venture to believe that there's some kind of belief, thought form, misinformation, there's something going on, you're not, you know, aligned. There's some healing that needs to take place. And healing, again, comes from the Latin o halen, to rebalance. And that's part of our game here too. You know, it's kind of like you come here to not know, to then know. You know, it's the play of opposites. And healing is a big part of our purpose here. The whole mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual, physical healing. Something seems to be broken, fix it. Then we realize it's not broken. It's just another transformation, change of form. And so we're always playing these out. And, you know, and to some degree, there is this evolutionary process. And I don't mean necessarily in the historical sense, but there is this unfolding that happens where all of nature, including us, are physical nature, our universal nature, our spiritual nature, what evolves to become more of what it truly is. And so that's a major, major, if you will, push right now to this unification. You know, and I always say we went as far as we could being feeling separate. Now we're understanding that we are all together, we are one, we are separated out into form, but it's, or extended out into form, but we're realizing that there is no separation. We are not separate. We are not separate to anything, you know, anything or anyone. So, you know, that's pretty amazing. You know, let's see. Okay, so let us get, thank you, Tamara. You're saying you loved hearing this. You needed to hear this. Me too. I guess me too. You know, I think sometimes I tune into things and to talk about, and then it's, you know, it's a confirmation for myself. Oh, one thing I found it. Okay, we are going to get the callers. One thing, let's do James's question. Hi, Michelle. I was watching a UF show and it reminded me of a strange event at home some 3 to 4 years ago. Oh, I love this because I had something similar. I was downstairs watching TV with my wife. I became aware of an orange light reflecting on the wall of the stairway leading to the upstairs bedroom. The windows in our place are floor to ceiling, so plenty of light gets in. I'm moving in, James. I love that. I eventually went upstairs to check the light source, maybe after 30 seconds, and recall seeing something like 3 orange globe lights fly around and disappear upwards. They were like flares in reverse, floating upwards rather than downwards. So what do you reckon? Just one of those inexplicable things or foreign material? I would say foreign material. Now, again, as we open, we begin to see more of what is actually there. But if we're attuned, here's the key. Your emotional state, your energy in motion is kind of like it's the instrument, okay? It's what you're attuned to. It's like strings on a guitar or any instrument that's tuned to certain notes, right? Certain chords, rather, is going to play with that tone. So we're the same way. If we're not attuned or tuned in to add these other dimensions, or which only separate by vibration, if we're not open or attuned to that, we won't see that. As we start opening more on our path, we start seeing, hearing, and feeling stuff. You start opening to all that is there within ourselves and what seems to be without, you know, around us. So as you're opening more to you, the fullness of you, you're opening more to the fullness of life in all its forms. And it's just like even just seeing little insects or little creepy crawlies around your house, you know, in the yard or something. Maybe you don't notice them, but one day you're sitting there and you're so relaxed and open, and then you see them. See, there's ants there. You see the spider. You see the hummingbird. Why didn't I notice there's a bird's nest over there? Oh my God, why didn't I notice there's a beehive there? Because you weren't attuned to it. And, you know, I actually had a visitation kind of similar to this. I've had a few of them, but one of them with this light, I was sleeping, just about to fall asleep. We had a two-story house where in my family home, and I heard this, and I thought, what the heck is that? Sound like a big helicopter. And now, mind you, I lived in a regular suburban neighborhood, so the houses, you know, there was space. I don't know, half an acre or something, but not enough to land a helicopter. But, you know, as a kid, I was like, wow, it's a helicopter. And then I thought, because behind where I lived, there was this huge park, and I thought, well, maybe there's a helicopter landing there, but why would I hear it that closely? And I'll never forget, I ran downstairs, and I looked out the window, and I saw this intense blue light. And it just drew me. I was transfixed to it, and then it just drew me outside. I opened the door, went outside, and felt this energy lift me up. And the next thing that I remember, I completely went out. I don't know for how long, other than in feeling and seeing these light beings. I just went up into like this like chute, like this blue light, kind of almost kind of Star Trek-y in a way, you know, that beam me up Scotty thing, but blue light. And this sound, and then I realized there's no helicopter here because it can't fit in between the houses, you know. And then the next thing I remember, I was waking up the next morning to go to school as a good little girl. And I was like, I knew what had happened. I knew telepathically what had happened. Kids, share more of this stuff with your parents if they're open, you know. It just would be a wonderful dialogue. I had so many things that I didn't share until later on. You know, when my mom was crossing out, she was much more receptive. And turns out she had a lot of experiences also. And she was really big into Edgar Cayce and intuition and had some intuition, not as psychic as me. Yeah, they knew I was psychic. I mean, they knew because I would predict things. I didn't censor anything. But I think as a kid, even the kids that are listening, we just don't say stuff. You know, we just don't, you know, unless you have a different dynamic in your family, we really don't sit down and say a lot of what's going on in our mind. James, thanks for that. I hope that answered for you. You always, you know, I love questions. So anybody that you ever want to email any questions in, whether personally or to answer like that. Yeah, Tamara, Pleiadian. Yeah, I think so. Although my realm is the Arcanon, the gentle realm, but yeah, I do believe Pleiadian. And another time, I'll just do really briefly, then we're going to get the callers. I had another visitation, two of them, with these amazing tall, tall light beings, but they were like poking at me, you know, just not meanly, but what disturbed me, woke me up at 3 a.m, and I let out a blood-curdling scream so much that the police were called. This was years and years ago, an apartment I lived at, and do you think I opened the door? No way, the police, I can hear the whoop, woo, woo, and so somebody must have reported. I probably sound like I was getting killed or something. And I saw the police out with the flashlights looking around my apartment in my window and then down below because I didn't know where it came from. I'm sure somebody said, I think it was the one I was on the top floor. You know, it was only, I think, two or three stories. And so what I did, and there's for everyone, what I did is next time I went into meditation, I called them in and connected with them, and I said, listen, I'm particularly frightened of you, but anybody that I wake, I feel a presence, and I open my eyes, and they're leaning over my bed, pointing their finger, whether it's a human finger or a light body finger, light energy, I'm going to be screaming, okay, because that startled me. So I said, please either warn me ahead of time or come over at a proper time when I'm in my meditation or give me a heads up that you're going to be, you know, coming and visiting, all right? So don't be pulling any scare tactics. And I did. I only had a couple more, you know, visitations from them. But, you know, people, you know, that's beings that are just not in body or they have a different body, you can still connect with them and they will understand, even if you're verbalizing, they'll understand your mental image pictures. They'll get it. It's kind of like traveling to, you know, a foreign country. you can mime things, you can get your message across, you know. Tamara's laughing, announce yourself. Yeah, exactly, you know. I don't, my friends don't come over 2, 3 a.m. knocking on my door, just open the key, have someone have the key to watch Yoshi, open the door, hey, I'm here, Michelle. So, you know, but they're on a different time schedule, time clock. But again, here's our whole good mental emotional health is you didn't have good boundaries as to what you want to experience, you know, and how. You know, some of you that email me that spirits are bothering you or they're in your bed or they're sitting, just tell them no, you know, or come another time or give me a message, you know, ring a bell, do something, you know, or let me think about you first, you know, give me the thought. Again, but we have to be open to this too. You know, we have to be open. You know, if you say, give me a sign or, you know, let me think of you, or, you know, you can't be rushing around so much that you don't get the message. You know, you don't get the and as Tamara put in the chat, you don't get the announcement. I love that. Yeah. Got to get the announcement. Yeah, so let us get to phone calls. And anybody has a question or comment, that number's 347-539-5122. Ha ha ha, I just went out for a second because I got a little flash here. Okay, 347-303, you're on Awakenings Radio. Welcome to the program. Hello.
Hi, Michelle. It's Tasha. How are you?
Hey, Tasha. Welcome to the program. I'm doing great.
Thank you. Oh, my God. Everything you were saying is just like, wow, I needed to hear that as well.
Oh, I agree with the chat. Good.
With the what now? I agree with the chat when they were saying that they want to hear it as well. Yes.
Oh, good.
I was just... Everything that, because I've been calling in and everything that you've been telling me, I've been opening up. I'm drawing so much in. I feel so blessed right now. And I'm at a point where it's kind of like, how do I begin to let some things go that I'm doing it just because I need it, but it's not specifically everything that's being drawn in that I love. So, for example, I have a full-time job. And I have a lot of responsibility there. And it's like, how do I begin to let go of some of that? Because I have so many blessings coming in right now.
Okay, the key phrase, though, is coming in. So okay. you need to let them, yeah, you need to let them gel a little bit and stabilize. Okay. And this is the human part of us. Once we finish a project or we're moving on, we kind of want to take our energy away from there. But sometimes it requires a little bit of time. It's kind of like, you know, musicians or any artists or people, they wrote a book, you know, and everybody wants to talk about the book before, but now they want to talk about the recent book. You know, or bands play a song, you know, they got albums out and then they go in concert and everybody wants to hear the other ones, but they've moved on. They're like, no, I'm doing this now. So you're a little bit in that phase is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
And you just, I feel like you need to let things stabilize a bit more. And one of the things, again, I feel, you know, the power of prayer, putting it out there. I mean, there's different ways to pray. There's, you know, spiritual treatment, mind treatment, there's, you know, calling in. But sometimes it's putting the intention there, really connecting into yourself, you know, your higher self, universe, God, you know, or really opening up and say, okay, this is what I really want. This is where I want to go. This is what I'm envisioning. And I'm feeling done with this. So could you make it so that I can transition out of this? Can you make it happen? You can even put the request sooner, you know, whatever. But to set that intention and then see what then begins to open. So I'm always about checking back in with our inner self, our inner knowing. I think you're almost there, but I feel some of the new things that are coming in aren't yet stabilized is what I'm hearing.
Okay.
Is that true?
No, it does make sense.
Yeah.
Because, and it's even like when I'm like talking with individuals, even with my son and he's 5, it's like I'm beginning to, he's saying what he's saying about, let's say even a Sonic game, but I hear like a different message that's a deeper message that has to do with my purpose on earth. So I don't know if I make and that's happening a lot as I'm talking to people. It's like, I just feel like I'm opening up in so many different ways.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. This is Thank you for saying this. See, this, everybody listen, listen, listen. This is what I'm talking about. We're in a, like Dwayne Elgin, amazing, you know, author, sociologist that's been on our show a lot. You know, I greatly recommend his books, especially Awakening Earth. Talk about being ahead of the pack. I think I read that in the early 90s, and it's everything that's happening now. Because we're in this living universe, you're right, Tasha, we're going to get our messages everywhere if we're open. And look, you know, the soul entrepreneurship, I was going to go in another direction. I was doing this healing work, sound healing. That wasn't quite feeling it because, frankly, I did that myself like in the 80s and early 90s. I love it. I love getting in. I love being a part and doing the meditation. I'll weed back in the meditation, I know, writing again and instructing people, but more as part of a tool that people need to use on a soul level. And the soul entrepreneurship, people kept asking me, would you please do this? See what you've done with people individually, what you're doing with me individually, people that I've been helping. And then they said, I'd love a group that supports this. And right. If we could get together as a group. So I kept hearing that, different people, different ways.
Right.
So I listened. So it's very similar to what you're doing. Then I went to this LIB, and then they were saying some of the similar things that's needed. And then I went to this permaculture talk right. there. And the guy was saying exactly what I'm going to do in my group and apply it. So that's, yes. So and it's like you talk to people, they don't even know they're downloading the information for you. They're saying certain yes. words, right?
Yes.
Certain buzzwords. Yes. Yes. And then Tamara's putting in the chat, you're how awesome you're in the synchronicities. Yes. That's when we move out of the linear. Now you're getting into synchronistic timing.
Okay.
You're getting, you know, I've even seen on TV, I mean, newscasters. I mean, if you're open, your messages, your confirmations will come in so many ways. I've even been talking sometimes to people and they said, I don't know why I said that. And I'm thinking to myself, I know why you said that. I know why you said that. I'll tell you why. And then, you know, it's like, I don't know why I said that. Why did I use that word? You know, and then I'm thinking, well, that's the word I use. That's what I needed to hear, you know.
Right.
And, but doesn't it make things more fun? I mean, it does. It makes it more fun to be alive, you know.
It does.
Oh, I love what Tamara's putting in the chat. The whole universe lines up with you. Yes. Yes.
That's beautiful.
And that's where we want to live. That's the space. But you see how it takes, you know, you have to get clear emotionally because otherwise the doubter comes in, all these other parts, oh, no, it's just a coincidence. I don't know. I'm not sure. You know, I know it sounds like a miracle, but I don't think so. You know what I mean? And there's all these, like, weird things that can block it. Once you start removing the blocks, it's so much fun.
I agree.
Much fun.
But in my case, I've realized that some of the blocks have to do with our last conversation, which is people. So there's certain people that I have begun to leave behind, and their fears and their doubts is no longer clouding my judgment.
Yes, absolutely. And the good news is they may shift and catch up. Or, you know, or you might meet them around the next corner or not. The good news is, you know, one or the other. But, yeah, every so often we have to do a little house cleaning. I did that recently. Just, you know, because here's the thing. You can either, and everybody can choose it. There's no wrong or right. You can either have a lot of drama, trauma in your personal life, you know, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, girl, whatever, significant other or family. You know, I know people that are so wrapped in their family dynamics. I'll be honest, families rarely change until we really start changing. Then the family members start changing. They really don't change by frontal assault. I've not seen it. You know,
right.
Anybody
right.
Call in, email me. I've been doing this a long time. Mine didn't start changing until I started using my tools and kind of backing off. And some of them didn't change and were not as close. You know, they
right.
didn't get healthier. But at some point on the path, you have to decide, I call it the pooper scooper. Are you going to be scooping up the poop, you know, of other people around you, or are you going to do a bigger game?
Right.
And, you know, people will pull on you. And I have a dear friend that's kind of doing that right now, and I'm like, wow, I can't go there. I realize that, you know, we meet at such an amazing level, especially intellectually, but the emotions, they keep. And how many in the chat, let me know. Tasha, you let me know too. How many times have we seen it where we put our energy into somebody that keeps putting their energy or loyalty in the wrong places, the wrong people, the self-sabotaging behaviors, and then we're trying to be there for them and help them?
Yeah.
At some point, you have to just say, nope, cannot do it. I've got to put that on me. And, you know, and again, it's that proverbial, you know, in the plane, if it's something funky's happening in the plane, put the mask, air mask on yourself first.
Right.
You know, and then those around you. So if you're feeling that right now in your life, that is a call to put the energy back on you.
Okay.
Okay, that makes sense?
It does, 100%.
Yeah. And you know what I find once we do that, because I just had like another little breakthrough, a shift and a breakthrough with stuff getting more in alignment. And I realized it's because I unplugged from that situation, that person. Not that I won't be there, but I thought, oh, I'd have over-attention there.
Right.
And it's not circulating back. It's not reciprocal, you know. And if somebody's not doing their own inner work, that's the other thing. If they're not doing their own whatever they need to be doing, however you want to term it, if they're not fully engaged in their life, they are going to pull on you emotionally. And emotions is energy in motion. That means you're going to have less energy.
Right.
You know, you're going to be drained.
Right. I feel the difference now.
You do?
I do.
Perfect.
I do.
Yeah.
With all
perfect.
Of your help.
Oh, you are so welcome. Oh, my God. You are doing amazing. You are doing so well. I love seeing that. And it does get easier, doesn't it? It kind of gets easier to navigate these changes once, you know.
It does. It's scary, but once I realize and identify this is fear, there's a different perception to it.
Yeah. What's the fear?
Oh, even if, I mean, one of my challenges was being direct with people. And now that it's like, okay, wait, I have to make the best decision for, you know, for myself, for all involved. And I make the decision and
yeah.
I'm firm about it, then there was no reason for me to be fearful. But
yeah.
I was fearful
yeah.
at the beginning of even being so direct. So I lived in the
yeah.
fear. So I'm starting to see the dimensions to it as well. So I'm getting more clarity and I so appreciate
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you for calling in with this. This is
thank
wonderful
you.
To hear this, and I know your sharing has helped a lot of people, so thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you, blessings. I love it when people call in also. And thank you for the input in the chat as well. Tamara put, tend your own garden. Oh, that's so true, right? So easy to weed somebody else's garden and ours is all weeded up. Hey, 201-716, you're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Michelle. This is Debbie.
Hey, Debbie. Hello. Welcome.
Hi. My question is this. The love of my life died in 97 of a heart attack. And since then,
okay.
I haven't really connected with anyone. But over the last past, I'd say 3 to 4 years, I've been feeling his presence around me. What I want to know, is he around me, and is he the reason why I haven't been able to connect and have someone in my life to spend the rest of my life with?
Yeah, now, was he pretty dark, more dark skin?
Yes.
And close cropped hair? Very,
yes.
Not long, yeah, okay, because I can see him. I keep hearing darling, so I don't... Hmm? Businessman?
Excuse me?
Was he a businessman? I'm seeing him, like, in a sports coat.
He was a teacher and a jazz musician.
That's why. Okay. Okay. So I'm seeing him, like, I don't know if it's, like, a sweater underneath, something, and then it's just a... It's like a sports coat.
Yeah.
Over it. Yeah, he is around you, and I could hear him say, I love you, so I want you to let go. So, no, he's not holding it in place. He's very protective of you. I feel
mm-hmm.
like his his crossing, his death, and then was out of the blue. He did stay longer in the it was very quick is what I'm hearing. And he did stay longer in the astral plane and connected to you. And I don't know if you guys were married or going to get married, but it feels like there was marriage around is what I'm hearing.
But he just dropped dead body bag on the floor.
Yes, and that's what I see quick. That's what I saw. And, you know, he's coming, you're feeling him more because he is going to be extending out. He stayed very protected, very much around you. It was such a shock for him to cross over as well. But you are going to meet someone else, and he is saying for you to let go.
Okay.
And one thing that you can do, you know, is, you know, have like a memorial. You know, in the Hispanic tradition, Mexican, we have what's called the descanso, which you see on the side of the road when people are hit. There's a cross that's made, and there's writing on it, you know, about what this person represented. And I would do that. I would do, you know, anywhere from 3, I'm thinking 5 days to do a little memorial to him and journal, write what he meant to you, what you learned from him, what you got from him. And then take it all down, any pictures, and then put it away. He'll still be with you etherically, but you are, this is happening to you, so you make the space for someone else to come in.
Right.
Because it happened so quickly, and I feel like there was this major bond. He says, I'm going to help. He says, I'm going to help you, darling. I'm going to help you pick a good one. He's going to help you pick a good one.
I need his help. I really do.
Well, you need to kind of really celebrate him, what was there, and let go. See, the thing is, sometimes it can be spiritual. Sometimes things happen sooner for whatever reason, or we as humans, we bond so much and something seems to be so right and forever, we can't understand why didn't it? Everything was perfect. Why did this happen this way? So that's what you got to let go of and, you know, make peace with and let go of.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're so welcome, Debbie. Thanks for calling in. Bye-bye. Okay, I think we have time for more questions. I'm waiting for Mara Kelly to call in. Don't know if she's got the private number, but I'm waiting for her to call in. Let us go to 831-595. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What's your first name?
Oh, Lisa.
Lisa? Hi, Lisa. Welcome.
Well, there's my brain. I'm kind of all over the I'm a little worried about finances, but I needed to quit that last job. I had to quit that last job. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for the next adventure. What do we have for me?
You quit the one job, is what you're saying, and you're ready for the next adventure. Okay.
Yes.
Have you been put, you are ready. You're ready, but there's a little tired. There needs to be a little transition to kind of refresh, renew, think things through. And I'm hearing two choices. What does that mean? Have you been mulling over choice of what you want to do?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So you're not yet clear on it. And that's part of your path and your process right now. See, you're very used to having boom, things done, wrapped up, I know what I want, bomb, bomb. And so you're learning this other kind of more liquidy, fluid, the feminine aspect, merging aspect. One, it's so funny, one decision seems a little closer, and then the other one, it's almost like you're reaching up to get it. It seems a little bit,
been debating several opportunities have come my way as to being self-employed. When I quit my job, I was told that these opportunities would be lucrative, but since then they haven't been. I still love the idea of making my own hours, making my own decisions, but I'm debating whether to work for somebody. And I've been looking at the want ads, and I've been checking out things.
but I'm still having a struggle. Do I work for somebody and try to get myself on my own? And I have a fantastic, supportive husband who's like, you can do this on your own. But I am a little worried because we just bought a house.
Yeah. That's what I feel. You're not sure you want to, and I feel you need more space. And one way to look at space is time. And you need a little more space to figure it out. I feel you could, the one further out, I feel you're not sure. You may end up doing something interim is what I feel before you decide to kind of go on your own. And
right.
Well, I keep hearing consulting.
And
oh, good. Cause and you have a home office? Do you have a home office?
I do. Yes.
Yes, that's what I'm seeing you in the home office a lot. Go in that home office. Spend more time in that home office. And even if you're doing some part-time or consulting for someone else or doing something in between, that's fine. That'll give you some breathing room. You have a nice home, by the way. I really like it. So,
yes, under construction right now.
Yeah, no, but I see it. I see the. I feel like there's going to be French doors or something opening to a patio or outdoor.
My gosh.
Yeah, I can see it. It's gorgeous.
For my French doors. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I see it. No, I'm there. Between you and James with the full length windows, no, it'll be fine, but it's just going to take you a little while to kind of wind out of this other mentality that you have and let yourself have that space, that time, you know, to do that. But I do see you working in the home office.
Okay.
I do see it picking up and taking off. But
okay.
Part of it is you're needing a little respite. Your inner psyche is saying, you don't
want
to just jump right in.
Right.
Perfect. Yeah. So allow it. You're going to go for the reaching up is what I see.
Okay. All
okay.
Right.
I see.
All
right.
Myself, I've always been spiritual. Do you see it being a homeopathic, my Reiki, my tarot cards?
Do I see what now?
Do you see my business being the tarot cards and spirituality and my energy work?
Yeah, I think you're going to do it all. I don't feel one thing. I can see people in and out of the home. I can see some small groups there. I can see probably 3 to 5 years, some kind of book or series of books is what I'm hearing. And some community work and women's support groups. So, it's going to start, but I feel like you're going to do a few things there. And down the road, the writing and the classes, the groups, you'll really love. And I do see some travel also with your work. So it could be like, you know, cruises or retreats somewhere where you're doing your
love
your
those
part,
cruises.
Your share. Oh, you do? Well, there it is.
Oh, I
you know. Get paid to go on a cruise. Yeah, there you go. Get paid to go on a cruise. You know, they give you, you know, some money and free room and board. All you have to do is a little talk or whatever. So, yeah, you'll do it. You're on your way, but you're just in this transitional point.
Awesome. Thanks for the show. I needed that. I need that confirmation. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. Glad I could be here. Keep us posted, too, on your house and your soul's unfolding.
I will.
Okay. Thanks, Lisa, for calling in.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, I love this show. We have the best listener participants as well and the best chat. I love it. I love it. It's time for the second half of the program, our Awakening Dialogue. And as I said at the top of the program, we have Mira Kelly with us, the author of Living Your Purpose, as well Beyond Past Lives. Mira Kelly is a world-renowned expert on past life regression and the best-selling author of Beyond Past Lives. She facilitates workshops, retreats, individual consultations, and speaks around the world, promoting the healing and transformation available through regression. She also has stories from her sessions included in a book by Dr. Wayne Dyer, Wishes Fulfilled, and also in Miracles Happen by Brian Weiss, we all know him, and also on Oprah.com. And if you'd like to, more information on Mira and her work, you can go to MiraKelly.com. Hello, Mira. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Michelle. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I was so tickled to have you on the program. So I'm glad that you could make it here with us. Let's dive in a bit because, you know, this is, oh, and by the way, let me get, your recent book is Beyond Past Lives, right?
Absolutely, yes. I now can say that I have two books. Just yesterday I published a children's book. And so,
oh, wonderful.
My most recent book is actually a children's book, but yes, A Past Life Regression Beyond Past Lives. That is the book.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Well, and what I like from what I can see is also a bit of a handbook to, you know, really help people on the path and to get, you know, clear, get the help that they need, you know, to live more what I call soul expressed.
Yeah, and that's really the point of past life regression. So for those of our listeners who are not familiar with the subject, we connect with our past lives or future lives for that matter because we're looking to resolve emotional and physical challenges. We're looking to understand the soul connections we have with other people. We're looking to understand our purpose to get answers on all those questions we have. And past life regression is really a magnificent tool giving people the answers.
I love that. Now, I think I'm going to ask people their first awakening, because, and the show is Awakenings, because I'm sure you are aware there's many awakenings. And reading through your material, I discovered that you actually, at age 13, came across Brian Weiss's book, Through Time into Healing. Would you say that was your first awakening, or were you awakened to this type of interest or connecting to your spirit before, or did that really kind of open you up?
It's fair to say that that was definitely a moment of great awakening, because up until that point, I did not know about reincarnation. I did not know about the possibility of the soul existing, simply because I grew up in a country that had no religion. I grew up in Bulgaria, and at that time it was a communist country, so nobody spoke to me about God. Angels were not a dinner conversation. And so once communism tumbled down as a regime, all of a sudden there was this influx, this opening up to spirituality. And that's how I came across Brian Weiss's book, as you were mentioning, that presented this information to me, and I was really intrigued. I was very curious, and so I decided to regress myself. And after reading all these stories of what he was sharing was possible for people, and I remember thinking, you know, at 13, I've got no challenges, I've got no issues, but I was curious, right? And so I created a recording for myself, and I experienced a very profound lifetime that gave me an understanding of my soul's path and gave me an understanding of the learning I'm here to do.
So now let's roll back a little. This is fascinating that you grew up in this environment. How did you get the book? How did you find the book, and how are you drawn to want to even read it?
My uncle simply mentioned in a conversation, a very simple statement of fact, I'm reading this book. And within me, all of a sudden, there was such a deep recognition, such a hunger, I got to read this book, you know. And so I was really very drawn to it in a way that I could not have known why back then, right? And I was very intrigued, very, very much impressed by everything that was shared in that book. And that's how it all started for me. And as you can imagine, you know, Michelle, when you're 13, other things pull you in different directions, right?
Yeah.
And so it was years later when I was already living in New York City and working as a corporate attorney, when I developed a painful condition, a condition in my jaw, and after trying to heal it for a full year, I was left with very little choices, right? My dentist told me, my healthcare practitioner told me that I either needed to learn to live with chronic pain for the rest of my life, or I had to have an operation. And he described the operation in a horrifying way. You know, he said to me that my jaw will be broken and then it will be reattached back with wires. And the condition was really very painful, and yet knee the option was something I could live for the rest of my life with, right? It was in this moment of desperation and this moment of what do I do, I need another solution, that I remembered the regression I did as a little girl, and I very quickly found a practitioner. And so that people understand that the pain was always in my shoulders and in my jaw, and I saw myself as a slave in another lifetime, as a very strong, tall black man who had this metal collar where the chain with which I was chained was connected to, and there was an imperfection in that metal collar, you know, when it was put together, and it was always hurting the face of that man in the same spot as where the main pain spot was in my face, as Mira, and I have to tell you this little bit of a story. In other words, I didn't see an epic story. I didn't get a full detail, a lot of detail in this life. But this little bit of story was exactly what I needed, because it gave me such a release of emotions that the next morning I woke up and I was completely healed. The pain was completely gone. And, you know, the kind of miracle that I experienced, the kind of miracle of healing that I experienced, is something I've seen with so many other people. You know, when you powerfully move emotions and release and you open up and you say, guide me, heal me to the divine, the divine rushes in to meet you.
Yes, I so agree. It never ceases to amaze me. I mean, I've had some similar experiences that you're talking about. And one person I can recall years ago in doing regression work, she had trouble with her her chest and a lot of shortness of breath and asthma. And it turned out in Egyptian time, she had been bound there. And what was even more interesting, it was her this lifetime husband, and they were having problems. And she used to tell me all the time, I feel like he's suffocating me. He just holds me back. And of course, you know, long story short, but she went through the regression and got better. And then they handled their stuff and it, you know, alleviated.
And what you're saying is very interesting, because, you know, we have we connect with the same soul through different lifetimes, and together we learn lessons by exploring different opportunities of healing and growing, and you know, so what you're sharing is something that you know a lot of people experience.
Yeah, it is. It's so profound. You know, whether it's, you know, in the womb or, you know, another life, or, you know, we really do have this continuum. From what you've done in, you know, all your research and then working with people, why do you feel it's to rectify? Why do you feel it's carried on? Is it to finally resolve it, rectify, or is it just, you know, what is the purpose, do you think, of the incidents, I guess, that tend to carry on?
So when people talk about carrying on from past life, they usually bring in the word karma, right? They say, this is just my karma. And sadly, I find it very sad when people define and see karma as a punishment. In other words,
me too.
I've done, I have done something wrong, and here I am being chased after and being having all this being imposed on me. Because, you see, this definition of karma disempowers you, you know. Not only
do you have to deal with
the stuff in this life, but then all of a sudden there's all this working around the corners that you cannot do anything about. And because of that, I prefer to have people define karma rather than punishment, to think of it as balancing. Because that's really what our souls are looking to do. Our souls are not looking to pay some karmic debts. Really, what our souls are looking to do through the different lifetimes is, in the moment of living, for us to realize that we are in charge of our life. You know, this is really the whole point of life here on Earth, so that we can actually realize in the moment of living that we are creating our reality, and to really empower ourselves rather than seeing ourselves as victims of circumstances and struggling and not finding the way out. And so here's what happens when people get to experience a pattern over and over and over, be it through their many different lifetimes or just also in this present life, right, with relationships, with money, with difficult bosses, whatever it is, just that pattern of over and over. I want to encourage people not to say, this is my karma, there's nothing I can do, but for them to see this as a feedback, saying to them, listen, this is your place where you can get empowered. This is showing up so that you can actually realize that you are in charge. You can change your beliefs. You can change your point of view. You can actually really take a different perspective and do something from that place of integrity, from that place of really being the masterful creator of your life. And so very much in a similar way, I view the connections with our other lifetimes. In other words, I don't see the present life as a continuation of another life. I think that they're standalone, beautiful stories. We are simply simultaneously learning lessons. So in that lifetime where your friend saw herself in Egypt, and in her present life, she's simply looking through the same lesson to empower herself and to learn that lesson, to learn to see herself in through that light and know her power. Mm-hmm. So it's not that somehow one is a continuation of the other. Does it make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, and I love what you're saying, because I really don't like that word karma. I mean, it's limitation of that it's punitive. Somehow I did something wrong, or I don't have money this lifetime because last lifetime I had a lot of it, you know, and I didn't use it right. I think it's so disempowering. We've got a lot of people in the chat, like, incredible, powerful story. Love her perspective. Yes.
I really
love what you're saying, and I feel that it makes sense. And let me ask you, do you think more people are becoming and will become more aware of other lives and use it more as a tool?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, past life regression is a very easy way for people to access other lifetimes. But we also have spontaneous recollections of in flashes from other lifetimes. This is, this is really well prominent amongst children. They simply will tell you stories of what has happened, and they'll just drop it as a matter of fact, just as they're playing with their toys, you know, or something is happening. And or people also connect with other lifetimes very, very beautifully in their dreams. And so the more we become aware, the more we allow for those connections to come to the forefront and really serve us. Because, you know, this information that other lifetimes give us and help us heal and help us see the big picture is really a truly invaluable experience.
Mm. Yes, I agree. You know, and to me, it's also that whole idea of opening to the fullness. You know, we're all so opening to the fullness of who we are and living at more, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So now, Mira, let's go back. So this was definitely an awakening, and what amazing that you had, you know, an uncle that was reading the book and turned you on to it. I think that's great. And in fact, I always find it interesting when, you know, I talk to people when they're in an environment that isn't really, or you would think not supportive of this, you know, because it sounds like there was no religion, there was probably not much focus on spirituality in Bulgaria. So that you have this opening, this awakening there, and this wonderful guide, you know, that's amazing testament just in itself, I think.
Yeah, yes, it was really a very beautiful, dynamic time that definitely, I chose myself a good start in life because, you know, I believe that before we are born, we pick our parents, we pick the initial setup of our lives. And because there's such diversity and possibilities that we can experience here on Earth, that we need a starting point, right? And our parents are so good at providing that environment, both economically, also emotionally, and because, you know, people wouldn't be here in the physical if they didn't have things that they're working through, if they have if they don't have imperfections. And so our parents are such a blessing to us, you know, in our formative years to give us the challenges we're going to work through for the rest of our lives. Because
so
that's what we need as a setup to get us going, right?
Right, right. And so I got a kind of twofold question for you here, Mira. What do you feel your life's purpose is, and when did it become clear to you? When do you feel that you knew that this is it? This is what I want to do.
I've always been aware of my purpose of being to connect with people, to inspire them, to bring light to them. And here's how it was very apparent to me, because it was the easiest, most enjoyable thing to do. In other words, I've always been the person people come to and find solace in, right? And feel seen and feel loved and feel inspired by. And that's really what our purpose is, right? That question of what is my life purpose is the question we all have on our minds, because we want to matter. We want to know that when we leave this earth, we'll leave a legacy behind us. We want to know that we would have our impact on the world and we would have changed things for the better. And we want fulfillment. You know, every day we want that feeling of, wow, was this an amazing day? Do I feel the sense of sharing, connection, the sense of being inspired and growing? And so it's the most natural question we all have. And when people ask me this, we use past life regression to explore this so that they can see it and know it for themselves. But here is the general answer. I want to share it with our listeners. Your purpose here on Earth is to be who you are, to be yourself 100% of the time, to use your gifts, to use your talents, and to serve others. And, you know, nowhere in what I said there was something about a job or a career or, you know, or getting a degree. Our purpose is bigger than the confines of a job description. And yet, I remember being a little girl and being asked, who are you going to be when you grow up? And I had many different answers, right? My answers changed as my fancies would change. But we all grow up with this expectation that we are not enough. And somehow we need to be molded into something. And then we've got it, right? Our definition of a job description is what gives us the status, gives us our identity. And yet we already have our purpose in us. Our gifts, our talents are there for a reason. And because they come so easy to us, And because we've been told that's not enough. You need to get a job. You need to do something meaningful to contribute. You need to work hard. And our gifts are never hard, right? Our gifts never come with the sense of working. They always come with a sense of play, fun, engagement, time flying by. So because of that, we always discount them. We always say, it needs to be more. It cannot be that easy, right? And, and because of that, I tell people, look into your gifts, look into your talents, and once you start living in them, once you start trusting them, what are the challenges that come up for you? Because in those challenges, you will integrate even more, and even more of your gifts and talents will show up.
I love that. Yeah, it really is. I love what you're saying, something easy. I always say your soul's purpose is not, you know, what you do, it's more how you do it, you know, your uniqueness, not a job or a career. And so I'm glad that's getting out there more, because I think a lot of times people think they have to do something, quote unquote, spiritual. Like, now I know my purpose, my soul's purpose, and, you know, now I have to be a healer, or I have to do this or that. When, I don't know if you've come across people, when they're perfectly happy with what they're doing, but they think that it has to be a job change. And that's what I'm hearing you saying. That's definitely not so. It doesn't have to be.
And I understand what you're saying. I hear you. And here's something important, right? Why are people looking to run away from where they are? Are they looking to change things because they're bumping against something that is helping them grow, or is it truly because it's not serving them anymore? That requires a very honest examination. And I'm not saying, you know, that people shouldn't move on. I used to be a corporate attorney. It was not fulfilling to me. And yet being a corporate attorney was part of my path because it gave me so much. It informed my growth in such powerful ways. And when I made that transition, it truly felt like the most aligned and extraordinary thing I could have done with my life. So my life is definitely an example of living your purpose, right? Finding that place within yourself of being authentic, being yourself, your full self in every situation.
Right. I love that. I love what you said. I think that's so important. Are you running away from something? Is there something that you're needing to focus? Would people know that now? How would you know the difference, though, Mira?
Well, here's something that happens when people start living what excites them, right? Say, in my case, that was doing past life regression. Very quickly into me opening up to this work, there was the need for me to start telling the story to larger groups of people, for me to start teaching and standing in front of audiences. And I have to tell you, up until that point, I was terrified of public speaking. This is actually a fear I know everybody can relate, because this has been said, it's our biggest fear, even bigger than the fear of dying. And so I was horrified at the idea of needing to speak in front of people. I was sure nothing meaningful will come out of my mouth. I was sure my legs will give out and I'll just collapse right then and there. You know, I was sure people will throw things at me and will be less than nice with me. And so all these things were just running and through my mind and paralyzing me. And there I was, needing to stand up and speak and share with people. And so I had two options. I could have said, you know what, this fear is very big. It's bigger than me. I cannot handle it. I'd better stay small. I'd better stay where I am. I'm doing good work anyway with what I'm doing. I don't need to push myself in that direction. Or what I did is I actually honestly sat down and I said, okay, this is coming up. There, my fears are not bigger than me. I'm going to pull this apart. I'm going to examine it. I'm going to see what are the beliefs behind it. And I am going to, and I'm going to work through this. And I have to tell you, when you start living your purpose, when you start showing up and when you start saying to the universe, okay, I'm here I am, give me more, it will always give you new places to grow. It will always mm-hmm. give you these moments of integrating more of yourself and, like you were saying, becoming more of yourself, right? And so I began speaking, and I did work to release that fear of public speaking. And I have to tell you now, the joy I feel when I connect with people and when I get to share with them, there's nothing that compares to it. I mean, I become alive. I feel so excited that my heart can talk to the hearts of so many people and that I can inspire them. In other words, I have found an even more exciting way to live my purpose of sharing and supporting others. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to say to those of our listeners for whom concerns are coming up when and fears are coming up and questions when they start opening up to their purpose, to not run away from them, but rather say, okay, this is here to serve me. This is here to give me an even more exciting way to serve the world.
Mm-hmm. So what I hear in this, there still is growth, no matter. Even if you found your soul's purpose, there still is your own growth.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. In other words, there's much like getting married. You know, sometimes some of us have this, especially if we have not yet been married, we have this idea of forever happy, forever. Oh, I cannot even say it.
Forever. I got you right.
In other words, we get married, and from then on, it's just bliss. And same with purpose, right? People say, I just need to find my purpose, and from then on, it'll be easy. Well, yes, but there are creative challenges. In other words, you don't want to be, you don't want to have that plain vanilla life when you die and when you go to the spirit side and when you review your life with your spirit guide. And your spirit guide says to you, okay, you really kept it very basic. Now, what did you learn? And you scratch your head and you're like, oh, wow, that was time wasted. And I have actually had that happen to clients of mine, right, during regression, experienced lifetimes that are very, very mundane, lacking challenges, lacking growth, and then they say, wow, am I happy I have all these challenges? So I want to have people think of problems not as problems, because notice I did not use the word problem. I used the word challenge, because when you define something as a problem, guess what you have on your hands? You've got a problem. But when you define it as a challenge, you're like, oh, okay, I am powerful here. I can deal with this. I can find the solution. This is creative. I've never done this before, but this is a challenge I can handle. And so, yeah, this is definitely a good thing for us to be engaged with challenges in life. And I promise you, you will keep on having them. But they can be fun. They can be exciting. They can be growing. They can be creative.
It's nice that you hear say that. Now we have a couple. You question in the chat. You grew up in Bulgaria. Where do you live now? Do you live in the States?
I live in New York City.
That's one
yes.
of the questions. New York City. Okay. Anybody in New York City? Now, do you do the regression? We have another. Do you do by phone or Skype, or do you have to meet in person? We have a question.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I do work with clients individually. I work with people over Skype, over the phone. I work with people in person. I do workshops. I do retreats. I have online events. So there are such a variety of ways for people to work with me. And so the best thing for people to do is to just go on my website and look around. It's Mira Kelly, MiraKelley.com, and just see how you can connect with me.
Perfect. Well, and also in the remaining minutes, if anybody has a question for Mira, you can call in at 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Just want to put that out because we have some people listening by phone if you'd like to. And Mira, we've got another question here. Can past life regression help me find my purpose, or how can it help me find my purpose?
Well, there's really a twofold way for people. When I guide people through their past lives, to experience their purpose and to understand their purpose, the first approach is for them to specifically see how in other lifetimes their gifts and talents have been best utilized and best used to serve others. And also, mm-hmm. Another important thing that I guide people through is to help them release the blocks and challenges that are coming up once they're starting to live their purpose. For example, I'm a Reiki practitioner. I do this kind of work. I do that kind of work. Yet the money is not there. Or I'm struggling with starting to do workshops because I'm afraid of speaking up. I'm afraid of being seen. In other words, each one of us has these concerns, and that's how I guide people through past life regression to work through those.
Okay, love that. Yeah. So different tools makes sense. Different tools.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is a tool that is really showing people the bigger picture of who they are, informs their understanding in such a powerful, such an extraordinary way.
Mm-hmm. And you talk a lot also, and even in the book, about taking action, that once we find our purpose or we connect to it, because like you're saying, it's always inside of us, that it's important to take action.
It really is, because the action is really our way of saying to the universe, okay, I am grounding the guidance that you're giving me into the physical, because we live in a physical reality, so everything materializes through the physical. But here's the kind of action I want people to take. I want them to follow what excites them. I want them to feel what feels authentically pulling, authentically, genuinely, that sense of alignment within them. And then when they have that sense of excitement, to really fully and completely engage in it, to take action, but take that action to the best of your abilities, but do it without expecting how it needs to serve you. In other words, when you engage and do something, do it for the joy of it. Do it for the way, for the fullness of serving others, for the desire of expressing your gifts. Not with the concern of, okay, I'm going in calculation of I'm going to do this and that because that's going to pay my rent. Right, I'm going to do mm-hmm. this and that because that's how I'm going to become better known, or this is how I'm going to attract more clients. Simply do everything because it excites you, because it moves you, because it's the higher self, the divine, talking to you and saying, go for it. This is exciting to you because it's in alignment with you, with your vibration, with your gifts, with your purpose.
Which is a whole new way of being. It's like it's a flip, you know. It's living this way, which I also call spirit led. It's living from that inside out, you know. It's really.
It truly is, yes, and it truly is, and I have to tell you, it's something that I practice every day. It's not something that I did only at the beginning when I was looking to start path of observing people through past life regression. Every day I wake up and I ask myself, and truly every moment throughout the day as well, what excites me? What moves me? What speaks to me? How can I, you know, use my gifts in the best possible way? And sometimes that is as simple as sitting down and writing something, or reaching out to somebody, or having a conversation, or simply sitting down and closing my eyes and reflecting on things, meditating, right? In other words, every moment, what feels authentic to you is part of the path, is part of the process of you serving the world with who you are, because your purpose is not somehow outside of your life. Your life, you live your purpose, right? It's your life, and then doing it to the best of your abilities, and then doing it without any expectations, and that's a process I engage in all the time.
Perfect. Well, you're a great guide for everyone, Mira. We're out of time. I really, really appreciate you coming on the program. You've given the listeners such great information and insight, plus a sweet, loving, open energy. You're just a love to have on the program. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I love connecting with everybody.
Yeah. All right. Take good care, and we'll have you back again. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Mira Kelly, author of Beyond Past Lives, and you can connect more with her at mirakelly.com. Wow, I loved a lot of what she was saying, and a lot of great information for our listeners. Thank you all, listener participants in the chat, for grounding the energy, all of you that called in, as well as all of you that really support the program and make it an important part of your soul alignment and spiritual connecting. It's really like Mira was talking about, do what you love. I always say that, do what excites you, because every time I do awakenings, every Wednesday, I'm so excited to be with all of you. If you'd like more information on this Soul Entrepreneurship Program, you can email me at info@soulentrepreneurship.life. Or .com, take your preference. And you can always email me at awakeningsradio@gmail.com for guest suggestions, topic suggestions, email questions. And we will see you back here next Wednesday. And until then, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, the number 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.